So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. I welcome you to the second part of our little birthday ceremony. What did you all think about the first part? It had some heart, no? There was some heart in it. And I think for us human beings, the experience of love or affection, you could say, commitment, gratitude, all these values is something that our heart craves for. We long for this. And when we can find it in such a genuine expression, when you see a man over 30 years struggling with tears as he expresses his gratitude, when you see an elderly lady acting as the MC, and I don't know, making her hair in a way you have never seen before in life. And just out of affection, then the heart gets a nourishment that is very rare to find in this world. I want to continue on this vein, on this train of thought, by presenting to you something which I have never done before. I want to speak about a little bit on my life, but I do not wish to just say then this happened and that happened, I was born to parents who did this and that, and my education or my early part of my life happened on an island surrounded by the beautiful waves of the Baltic Sea, and so on. I wanted to isolate three moments in my life, or more. Let's see what comes out as I continue, that were something like key moments, moments that were so impactful that they influenced me and made me the person who I am now. In psychology, you call these, I don't know if it's psychology or somewhere I have read, you call these moments defining moments. No, they define who you are. They have an impact and a power that they sometimes break the old story in which you live your life, and they put you on an entirely new track. And I wanted to do this as personal as these moments were. I wanted to share some of it. I do not know how this will go. I'm what you would say a little open. That means also when someone opens his heart, he will come to places where he is more vulnerable, perhaps he's not so guarded. The reason why I thought this would be a nice thing to do on a birthday is because you all relate to me in this way, with affection, with openness, perhaps also with vulnerability. Today I received a wonderful devotee and personal friend of our ashram who came all the way from Berlin just to be with us for today, tomorrow he will have to return to resume his work. And of course this is done out of affection. So many of you have come from America, some from India, just to spend these 2 days, these few days together. And I think you deserve to hear from the, we say in English, in German, von dem Geburtstagskind, the birthday child. Do we say in English also, birthday child?
The birthday boy.
This is New York. The birthday boy. Thank you. This is an established term. Yes, the birthday boy. How nice. You know what the boy has in mind. You know what is inside of him. As I said, we long for these more personal meetings and personal revelations. What is in my mind? What is my purpose in doing this? There is a saying that the human being learns most from another human being. All our important lessons come from a human being. And even in our spiritual tradition, there is one work, one book, which I think many of you are familiar with, where one spiritualist shares his journey with another spiritualist. And why does he do this? And he does do this with this one purpose. He thinks the other person will learn the most about my journey if I just explain my journey, if I tell my journey. So this is not a selfish glorification, for sure not, but an indulgence in one's own mind. It is a presentation which is based on the sincere desire, yes, to let you be part of the lessons that I was allowed to learn. I can't obviously cover everything. I therefore have limited myself to 3 questions which I will ask myself and which I will answer. So this is what you are about to hear. Please listen with 2 ears. What I mean with this expression, of course everyone always listens with 2 ears, but when I say it like this, I mean hear with 1 ear, so to say, just the content, what happened, what moved me so much. And then please also try to find out, is there something in for you? Or to make it more personalized, ask yourself, is there something in for me that I can learn from this person's experience? Good. Are you into this? Is a good idea? Should we do? Good. So I will sing a little just to prepare the stage, and then we will go about. Afterwards, I have asked the person whom you only saw on the video, he's live with us, to do a little magic. We need a little magic. What is life without magic? So boring.
Gut. Danke.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine
Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavani. Askatyare Satarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Ratnavinda.
Oh,
One more time, please, everyone.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Human being is the result of certain events that happened in his or her life. Something that is very obvious is that we all are the result of the act of conception. Father and mother came together one night and hopefully they loved each other and After 3 months, our mother said, "I'm pregnant." This was an event that took place that was very important for our present existence, an event that lies back in time. I will not talk about such types of events. I would like to talk about powerful events in my spiritual journey which happened that are the cause of me being here now and carrying with me a universe of insights, a universe of feelings, a universe of paradigms, narratives, and making me the person who speaks to you. What speaks to you is not just, as you know very well, a machine with air and vocal cords and lips and jaws that move. Inside there is a inside this machine called the body, there is a being that is constituted of experiences, and I have three to share with you: my experiences with Srila Prabhupada, my meetings with him, memorable moments in my association with him, my relationship to the holy name, what I experienced there, what made me so convinced to make chanting my main personal sadhana or practice, and also my experience with something that may be a new or somewhat vague idea, the idea of contemplation, inner transformation, inner work, and so on. So let me start, please, with my meeting with Srila Prabhupada. I was very, very young when I met Prabhupada. I met him in the television. I've often told the story how I saw a TV broadcast where the devotees, early devotees, there was Syama Sunda, Malati, Yamuna, very important, Yogeshwara, and so on, sang the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which most of you were not born, which created a sensation amongst the young people of the time. We were very musically oriented, and the music market was very limited. We listened to our music on the radio, and there was hit parades, and the Maha Mantra made it in Germany on place number 3, even before the Rolling Stones, you know, better than the Rolling Stones. and others. So I was very young, and my earliest remembrance of seeing Prabhupada was when I once went through the through a tunnel in Hamburg. It was a tunnel that was somewhere in the area of the main train station. And it was a long tunnel, and I saw suddenly on the left side displayed in something like an advertisement place in the tunnel, you know, behind a window, I saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And I was on my way to one of my favorite book shops which was carrying a very good assortment on literature on magic. Yes. So I went there, saw this saint on a poster in the tunnel, and I was very much moved. Perhaps you call this, I felt called. I stopped, as they say in New York, cold in my tracks. And I saw next to him there was a poster which I had overlooked. It showed what I now know is Krishna. I couldn't at that time understand. He looked so beautiful. He was sitting there. He had a bluish complexion, a oval face, long hair, a peacock feather, and one of his arms was around a calf. It's a famous Brijbasi photo. And my first impression was, this is Mata Hari. Mata Hari was a female spy who was extremely beautiful. I don't know on what side she spied. Perhaps on the British side, and she was sent into governments to find out secrets of the government, because no one could resist the charm of Mata Hari. Have you heard the name Mata Hari?
Yes.
Oh God. Mata Hari. And I looked at Mata, what I thought was Mata Hari, but then I found out it was not Mata Hari, because Krishna's chest was exposed, and clearly that of the chest of a young man, not of a young woman. And next to him was the saint, the picture of the saint. And my dear devotees, I just stood there and I felt so attracted that I forgot about the books which I wanted to purchase. And I remember the question, what is that? Who are they? And why do I feel so very attracted? Anyways, I continued in my tracks, and I remember the image of Prabhupada and Krishna was not disappearing from my mind. I was a little bit irritated, because it was something I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't put it anywhere. I thought, does this have to do something with music perhaps, or something to do with India? But then what specifically was it? Who were the two? All I can say, perhaps there is a reason why Krishna is called Krishna, the all-attractive one. And I felt he was there because of the saint. The saint had brought him. I remember this poster of Prabhupada and Krishna in the tunnel. It was a picture of Prabhupada which appears on the back of the Krishna book, you know. It's a very beautiful. Find the silver old Krishna book. Then things happened. I met the devotees, and eventually I ended up in my first visit in the temple. I was very, very nervous when I went over this threshold. I still remember the smells in the temple, what is it called? Treppengang, or Treppenhaus, staircase, you know. So ecstatic. Later I found out it was cumin and asafoetida, in what we call a chance, you know, that it is made in toasted in ghee. I really thought in the beginning they take some very potent drug here. and because I was just so nervous, I don't know if you have ever ventured into a total different environment, you know, let us say an opium den, or you move into a discotheque where transvestites meet, you know, who are dressed in very, they have a good taste in dressing, and so on. Just total different environment. You feel a little nervous, and how will I move here? I felt very similar in the temple. I was I dressed okay, or you know, and so on. And I remember the first time, I've told this many times, I saw two devotees, and they had this bag around the neck, and they went on the floor, and I immediately thought, in my creative way, I'm sure in this bag they carry this powerful drug which they take here, and it has fallen out of the bag, and now they are trying to search it on the floor. And I immediately also went on the floor and wanted to be helpful. I was really challenged. It was totally new for me. Now you laugh about me, but imagine the young man, totally sensitive. I had my violin on the back because I thought maybe they like music here, then I can play the violin with them. I know some music also. And I was very, very nervous. I was not in the mood to laugh. Then the devotees had things to do, and they put me in a room. Behind the room was a record player, and I remembered I listened to the record, and there was this voice, Chintamani Prakarasat Masu Kalpa Briksha Lakshavitesh. I can't sing it so nice, but there was this voice, and here I am, a young man ready to explore everything, and I heard this voice, and I heard the voice, and I heard longing in the voice. I heard a whole culture singing along with that voice. I closed my eyes, and I saw people going to a sacred river and taking their bath. And I opened the eyes again. What was that? And my voice continued to sing. Was it the Brahma Samhita? And my dear devotees, I was only interested in one question: who was singing there, and why? When I closed my eyes, I seemed to remember things that were forgotten. And later I was shown a picture, and it was the same old man who had stopped me cold in my tracks in the tunnel, and the same person who was next to that youthful image, that of that person who sat on a rock with one foot, I believe, in a river, and was just attracting me so much. Then I came to a Sunday feast, and the lecturer explained that the spiritual master is someone who can actually guide you to cross over the obstacles of life. He's like a tour guide in a treacherous mountain path, dangerous mountain, area. And then he spoke about Srila Prabhupada, and at the end I asked him, do you have a picture of this Sri Prabhupada or something like Srila Prabhupada? Yes. So here he was again. I came regularly to the temple, and I took part in an Easter Goshti. At that time the devotees would meet, I think, once a week. They had the little prasadam, but then they read to each other the letters which Prabhupada had written that week to the various temples. Prabhupada guided his whole movements by letters. This is something which you may not know. You take a pen, there's a paper, and then you write it, and then you put it in an envelope, and it goes by post. It takes sometimes a week to reach its destination. Yes, so that is the forgotten thing called letters. We got Xerox copies of various letters, and we would read them, and we would discuss what Prabhupada said. In this letter, he guided his disciples in all matters, spiritual matters, practical matters. And I was listening, and I would say, can I know more about this person, please? In that time, we had not so many books, and my English was even worse than now. But we had his typed lectures, and I began to read these lectures like my old literature. I like to always read. I used to read through the nights. I was very interested in reading. And I began to like these lectures and read them, and I made notes in a notebook. I never made notes before on anything. And I remember I relished it. And a desire appeared in my heart to meet this person who had given these lectures and written these letters, and who had stopped me in the dark tunnel. So the time came where Srila Prabhupada came to London, and it was in the midst of my schooling. I was in a high school, Gymnasium Oberalster. You know, good boys from good families were studying in the gymnasium. I still remember I was there taking part in the school. We had an excursion trip where we did the schooling in a beautiful area of North Germany where there were lakes. And I remember I was taking part in the education. One of my teachers was called Mr. Lange. Mr. Lange was so long. I used to read psychology even as a young boy. I read all kinds of things. And Mr. Lange said something on psychology which was old style. And I said, that's wrong, Mr. Lange. New research has shown blah, blah, blah. And Mr. Lange got upset. And then I met Mr. Lange afterwards. And he said, listen, I don't care about the new research. I just want to do my job, and I have to teach what is the syllables. And you better don't talk and interrupt your teacher, knowing it all better, because we go here by the syllables. Yes, said, and then I said, I go by the truth. So we were like two heads on each other. You know. And I said, I think that's it. I'm going to these people. I'm not interested in the syllabus. I want to know what it is. And I was rebellious at that time, and my rebellious nature So I ran away from that school. I went onto the ship. I still remember where the devotees came. The devotees were poor, and I somehow had given them 10,000 German marks so that they can take the passage on the ship. They were very kind to me afterwards. But I myself went for free on the ship. I hid in the ship because I thought, I'm going to meet my teacher. It's an adventure, spiritual adventure. I don't pay my ticket here for this. This is the way to this. No ticket can buy you. I understood this already at that time. So, yes, I was young, I was foolish, and I was angry with the society, which I felt was living on half-truths as best. So I do remember the first meeting with Prabhupada. I told it many times, and I will only allude to it briefly. When we arrived in London, the devotees with the tickets, which I had bought for them, and me without ticket, we were waiting for Prabhupada. He was longer than intended in America because there were more Rathayatras added to his list. So when finally we all went to the Heathrow Airport, that's still my favorite airport in the world. We go regularly through this airport, and I was always thinking, how will my first meeting with Prabhupada be? Yes, I've met him in the tunnel. I've met him through his voice, but how will it be when I stand face to face to a saint? These were my last thoughts, and then I fell asleep because his plane came at, I think, 12 o'clock in the night. Now I'm an inexperienced Hare Krishna. I'm awake in these crazy times, but at that time I was not sleeping at that time. So I was sleeping somewhere in the airport, and then the conch shell came. We all came out. Yes, yes, what? Prabhupada is coming, God! And we jumped out of our seats where we were sleeping, and came to the, I think it's called the Ankunft, the arrival gate. And when the doors opened, Srila Prabhupada came out. And although it was midnight, I remember he was so effulgent. He looked so blissful. And he came with his... There was a visible effulgence. It was a little bit like, if you can imagine, I have to look into this light because we have an online audience and they need a good well-lit face. So if you look into this light, it's quite bright. It's all right, by the way. Don't change the light. It reminds me of Prabhupada. And he came out, and he was so brilliant that in my, you know, I didn't know anything at that time, I thought it may be harmful to the eyes. He's so full of light. So I did something which I never thought I would ever do. I paid my obeisances, but not in reverence. Reverence means out of respect. Just to protect my eyelight, like a soldier, bing, who jumps into the trench in order to avoid the impact of a powerful bomb, you know. So I calculated, 1, 2, 3, I will count up to 100 or so. And then I thought, now he must have passed me. And I went up. And the first thing is, I saw these house shoes, because I still remember the mark. It was the brand. It was Romika, very good warm leisure shoes. And what? My first thought was, who is on an international airport in Romica Hauspuschen? This is papuchkas, you know, the shoes which you wear in the house. And then I looked up, there was a Dodi. I went up, ooh, it was Prabhupada. He looked at me and he was so amused by me. Amused, and he was very happy to meet me, and his eyes were full of sparkle. And it seemed to me, in my way, the Prabhupada said, welcome back, with his eyes. It was a very welcoming glance, and I thought, yes, this is what a saint is. He has a light around him. He knows you before you know him. He stops for you before you stop for him. And he has clearly entered my life to change my life. It was clear to me, and I then began. Prabhupada gave lectures in the temple. I asked him questions, and he answered them in a way that totally surprised me and convinced me. And then something happened which convinced me I will commit my life. I commit my life for 1 year in his service. I thought, I can't make a decision for my entire life now, but let me try 1 year. And what happened was this, my dear devotees. Perhaps I've told it to you. It's like this. My service at that time was to clean the deity plates. And one day, I was just very distracted. I was thinking what to do in my life. And one of my girlfriends had come with tears in her eyes. She had finally found me. I had run away from Hamburg without telling anyone where I would go. And I just gone into a ship to meet Prabhupada. I was only fixed on that. And so Hannah, I think was her name, came. She had red hair like this, impressive hair. I've not seen it, so much hair and on a human head since then. She said, all of us, meaning our circle of friends, are wondering where you are. And I had a little clue, because you liked this record of George Harrison, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I followed my heart and my love for you, and it brought me to London, where this record was recorded. And I'm wondering, what is your thought? Why have you gone away? Why have you not told anyone, including myself? Could you please explain yourself? And I said, at that time, I still remember, I'm always convinced that we only see a fraction of reality, and that there is a whole world outside of it, a better world, a world with not so much illusion, a world with more love and more kindness. And I feel I'm just now discovering this world. So what does this mean for your future life? I said, I do not know. All I know is I have to go this path. When I find something, I will tell you. This is your last word. This is for now my last word. I remember this. So there were tears, there were expression of gratitude to each other. You know, it was a nice person. And I said, I have to go this path. Please wish me well. I have to discover this. So I stayed, and then something happened. I remember still, I was always washing the plates which had come back from the altar. You call them in your language the maha plates. So you take the full plates, they're like katoris, is that the word which we use? So you dump the prasadam back into the pots, and then the pots go outside, the content is distributed to the hungry devotees. So then I had to wash the plate and take care that all and everything is removed out of the katoris, and then put them for drying, and then they would be used for the next offering. So the cook came in. He was a fired up, muscular cook, I believe, from the Philippines, a very, very energetic cook, you know. And he said, Prabhupada called me. Yes, I said, yes, it must have been blissful. It was not blissful. And you are the reason for it. I was becoming very irritated because perhaps a few weeks before, I almost got in a fight with an older devotee because I had come out of the toilet with the Krishna books. I had this habit that in the toilet I would I would spend the time reading, you know. It takes sometimes half an hour before there is any significant production. So to bridge over the time, because as I said, I was really into reading and understanding. I had good literature with me, you know, so I was very in good mood. I was relieved and intellectually stimulated. I came out with the books out of the toilet, and one devotee, was the father of Krishna Murari. He saw me and he couldn't understand. Did you take the Krishna book in the toilet? Did I see you right? I said, yes, I had a wonderful reading session. And then he just exploded and just was beating me with full force in the face. I was so blissful. And I thought, what is this? They are monks. And then, yes, I had 1 year where I was a street fighter, so I said, he can have it, you know. And I went into my position and did my Bruce Lee thing. And he understood he is a trained person. And I was just going to get at him, you know. Then I said, wait a minute, this is a temple, this is no Bruce Lee movie, you know, stop yourself, this is not good, you should never hit a devotee. Somehow I understood, and I just, he became afraid because I screamed so loud, you know, that's how you do, that is... Muhammad Ali also did this. He intimidated his opponents, you know. It's a psychological trick. So I went out of this. I said, never do this again to me. Never. Because I don't know if I can control myself a second time. Put the books down and I left and went into the temple room and to get free from the boat of passion. So I just wanted to say, so when the cook came, he was also so passionate and he was so angry at me. I thought, oh my God, is this what is going on in the temple? They're so agitated and woo. And he said, Prabhupada said he had gone in the morning to the temple, to Radha and Krishna. He had a personal darshan. And Radhan Krishna said to him, the plates in which our meal is served to us are dirty. I'm not in charge of cleaning the plates. You are in charge. You have not done your service properly. And Prabhupada was personally chastised by the deities, by Krishna, and it's because of you. Mm. And all I remember is great bliss. Wow. Yes. I thought I was absent-minded because I thought of Hannah and Hamburg, and that I left all my people behind and they were worrying for me, and I was not cleaning, my mind was not at all with my service. So yes, it's very likely that I didn't do my service well, but Prabhupada knew it, and he knew it because Krishna had told him. This is the real spiritual master. And yes, I began to think, when I first went in the tunnel and I saw Krishna, there was Prabhupada next to him, and Prabhupada brought Krishna to the West. And I'm now studying with Prabhupada. I become his student for 1 year. I was not very surrendered at that time. And so after the year, I decided to stay for life. So this was a very important meeting for me. There are others I want to go. I've made some notes here. If you asked me what is your most memorable meeting with Srila Prabhupada, that has impacted you and touched you so much that you could do service for many years with full determination, and although you were so young, you took to the spiritual path. My dear devotees, this one event. Prabhupada visited us in Germany in 1974, and because there was the devotee who massaged him had gotten a fever, there needed to be someone else to massage him, and because I wanted to be close to Prabhupada and have a personal interaction with him, not just to service as a translator and he would be in America or all over the world, I lied and said I'm expert in massage. I went in, I massaged him. I have often spoken about this. I met the teacher, and what is very important for me as a human being, I met the personal or private Prabhupada. You know, Krishnalaya has thought about it. At one stage in the massage, Prabhupada wanted me to crack his knuckles. I don't know. What he told me is I should just pull it, but if I do it, I tried it, and then I noticed if I want to make this knack sound, I would have to really pull hard. And I said to Prabhupada, I can't do it. It's not good for you. So here was Prabhupada, my spiritual master, the Acharya of ISKCON, and he is a young young boy. I must have been 19 years or so old, 20, 21 perhaps. I'm not so good in numbers, as you know, and I'm telling him it's not good for you. Prabhupada then looked at me and said, "Who said?" And I answered back, "My mother." you know, because as children we are doing this, and the mother says, no, don't do it. And I remember Srila Prabhupada looked into my eyes, and he would not go against my mother, the authority. So he didn't say tika, but somehow he made this gesture. So it's all right. You don't have to crack my mother. You don't have to crack your knuckles, my knuckles, if it's against your mother's instructions. You know? And I thought it was just very endearing. It was so, you know, so natural, so it came so spontaneously. Prabhupada respected my mother, my German mother, and what she said. And I don't know if he ever asked anyone else to crack his knuckles. I don't know. Maybe he did not do. One of my disciples said that his mother said it's not good, you know. His Prabhupada was like this, very humble, you would say, yeah, very natural. And I then after the massage, at the end of the massage, I had always wanted to touch his lotus feet, but I was too shy to do that on my own. So I had all the time massaged, and I said to myself, I wish so much to massage his lotus feet, but for sure he will not allow it, because I have so much bad karma, and if I touch his feet, it will come all to him. I was thinking like this. Then all of a sudden, as I was finishing the massage, at the end, Prabhupada just throws one foot in my lap. You know, here, you have my foot, now do your foot massage. And I did it, and it's difficult for me to really say what happened, but what I perceived, the way I interpreted it, was like this. I massaged his lotus feet, I prayed to him, and all of a sudden the room was full of light. But it was not a light from the sun, it was a different type of light. Perhaps it was the Brahman. It was a spiritual light. Perhaps it was the same light which I had seen when he came out of the, you know, the Heathrow airport after out of the arrival gate. And I do remember it was a very, very wonderful feeling. I was just sitting there. I saw him. But I saw him differently. I saw him as a great exalted being that he is. And I felt so very grateful that I had been allowed to be in his close contact. I have never forgotten that room and that what happened in the room. If you would ask me if there is anything that I have learned from Prabhupada that stands out from all the many lessons I have, it's this. There is a spiritual reality, but we don't see it. We often see only the material world with our eyes. We hear material sounds, we smell material smells, but there is a total different story happening, a spiritual reality. And I have always tried to remember this, that there is the apara, that is the material, and then there is the para, the spiritual. Some of you have listened to the podcast Above the Clouds, and I gave my podcast this name because I always I want to show that yes, there is a reality that is above the clouds of material illusion. I took this title from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Montreal. He gave actually many, three lectures to my knowledge about this subject. He said, Krishna consciousness means above the clouds. When you start with the airplane, everything is dark and dismal until you reach the clouds and go through the clouds, and then you are above the clouds. And he said, there everything is friendly energy. It means light and so on. And I have never ever stopped believing that for every one of us it is possible to go above the clouds of our, that means to go above the consciousness where we are driven by our anxieties, by our worries, by our desires, and just pierce through that cloud of illusion and go above the clouds. That is something. Sometimes devotees ask me, how does Prabhupada speak to you now, where he has disappeared? Is there any event in your life where you felt he talked to you and changed you now? You have spoken of old times. What is about new times? Well, my devotees, I remember, I forgot the year exactly. Perhaps Bhanu Nandini can help here, and Kishori can perhaps also help Radha Kripa. I had been attacked on the stage by people who had thrown chemical bombs and had disturbed our program. We had perhaps 5,000 to 7,000 people, and they had thrown bombs, tear gas bombs, into the crowd, and also bombs on the stage. And I had not noticed that this was an attack. I thought perhaps this was our fog machine which had started, you know. We had for mystical effects, for I think the second, you know, we had first bhajans, then I would give a lecture, and then we had a dancing part where we used Western instruments to just have a really substantial sound in the hall. And in the second or third song of this last part, where we, the dancing part, where we danced with the people, we used fog machines. And I would come dancing out of the fog in my red dhoti. It was quite something to see, and I liked that part very much. I saw there was fog going up, and I thought the fog machines had gone out of control and started early. So I was dancing, really, the music was really, we wanted them to dance really to the holy name, and I was breathing in and out this poisonous fumes. And afterwards I collapsed from the stage, I fell down. And if Ishvara Chandra, one devotee from Poland, would not have caught me in his arms, I would have hurt myself very much, because the stage was a little high. And so he brought me out into the free air. I had lost my consciousness already. And afterwards, when I was waking up from this, I felt, oh, something is not good. It was nerve gas, and my body was trembling, and I needed treatment to get the nerve gas out of the nerves. So I went to Israel to recover my health. You know, you swim in the, my theory was, I somewhere heard it, when you go in the Dead Sea, where there's so much salt, there's a lot of salt concentration, and that will suck out everything unhealthy out of the body. It was a little speculative therapy, but I was very headstrong when I was young. So afterwards, I was not fully all right and went, Shri Shri Radha Madan Vanaki. I went to to Bosnia, and a few devotees took care of me. Which year was this? Does any of you, Bharanandi Kishori, remember? Maybe 2008. Six, 2006. Good. So I was not in good health at that time. I walked every day with walking sticks for hours to just get my muscles back, to breathe. It was high in the mountains and beautiful. One day I want to write a book about my experiences. It was really nice. Krishna was very merciful. And yes, I would listen to tapes of Prabhupada. What is it called? Recordings, MP3 recordings. I had a little thing like this, and I always made mistakes in it, how to operate it, but I would hear lectures by Srila Prabhupada as I was walking. And one day, I remember still, it was so scenic. I was in the clouds, you know, it was high up, and there were low hanging clouds, and I hear Prabhupada's voice. Prabhupada said, "What do you do for eternity?" And I was walking. Did I just hear that correctly? So I went back, but because I don't know so good machines, I went back 10 minutes before I had to listen again, the 10 minutes, but then it came. "What do you do for eternity?" Wow, that's a good question. Then I again went back, and I remember I was so frustrated because I don't know how to operate these things very well. It went back too far, but I had to listen a long lecture again, but then I was ready. Then the sentence came, "What do you do for eternity?" My dear devotees, I cannot rationally explain what this sentence did for me. I thought, yes, I'm now investing in the health of my body, but when the body is a little bit healthy again, I will work for my eternal life. And I'm still very much impressed by this question, "What do you do for eternity?" It's the North Star for me. It is something I contemplate. I'm thinking now also, my life is becoming older, and I have tried to serve many years. I've given what is my best. It is not so good, I understand this, but I feel I would like to finish some projects which I have started, and then I would like to think more about this question, "What do I do for eternity?" That means eternal life. It's my motto. So yes, that is my meeting with Prabhupada. Now it became longer. Oh, Krishna. The holy name. I have a lot of notes on the holy name, but I will answer only one question. If someone would say to me, "Sachinandan Swami, you go once a year to Vrindavan, and we heard you are staying by yourself, you have assistants who cook and clean, but you stay basically by yourself behind closed doors, and you chant all day. What happens to you when you chant?" I have never talked about this in full, and I will also not be able to tell you everything, because in our scriptures it is recommended that one's personal bhajan must remain one's personal bhajan. It's not to be told in public. But there is something which I wish you to know. My dear devotees, I come to a very frightening place each year. I call it in my language the zero point. This is what happens. When I sit down for this, then the first thing is I need to arrive. Everything of me needs to arrive in that moment, not just the body. I need to withdraw my mind from so many thoughts and so on and bring it to the holy name. The second stage is I leave my old life as a preacher behind. Now I'm no longer Satchinandan Swami. I'm an eternal soul. I'm a dasa who is approaching his Lord in a mood which is expressed in the sacred scriptures. My dear Lord, I forgot you for so long. Now I sincerely turn to you by serving you through chanting the holy name. But please accept me, otherwise it will be difficult. Please maintain me by giving me some taste in your chanting. So the old life is left behind and the new life is not yet there. I am in between, in betwixt. I am in the zero point. Yes, if you know some, every one of us has learned something. Geometry, well, there's a cross, there's a point, a zero point. Here is plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four, plus six. Or, I'm Satchinandan Swami, I'm a German, I'm a sannyasi, I'm an older devotee, I'm a guru, I'm a fallen soul, and everything, you know. That's all. But there is something else. I'm actually not all of this. I'm a soul and I don't know who I am. As a soul, I'm a servant of Krishna. Well, more, if I go more in this, there's Radharani in my life. And I go deeper. But between these two, the material identifications and the spiritual identity is a zero point where you're not here and not there. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that is scary. Because no one wants to be nothing. Everyone wants to be something or someone. So at that time, one is very vulnerable, one is very, what is life, what should I do, but I don't have any taste as of yet, now there is no diversion, I can't go on a preaching tour and give and talk about the things I like, I'm just on the zero point. I have to sit here, all I know is perhaps in noontime, devotees come with prasadam. I have no taste in this, but my mind tells me the chanting is the Yuga Dharma, has to work. It is scary for me, at least. And during that time, I just prayed to the holy name. I prayed to Krishna. I prayed to Prabhupada. And usually, after the zero point, then the real life starts. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, first comes deconstruction, then comes construction. You know, when you want to build a house and there is the old house, which is not good, you have to take down the old house, maybe even dig in the fundament, take the fundament out, then you can start the new house. Yeah. So this taking it down and coming to nothing, I call the zero point, and then it goes. I recognize that it doesn't have to happen in the same way. For anyone, you can speak perhaps with Gaura Hari and Vaijajanti, who also go on these long retreats. I know when Gaura Hari was my assistant and was with me, he definitely came also to the zero point, and I needed to give him a sweet to help him because it's, isn't it, Gaura Hari? It's not fun, you know, it's not, but then the real things are given. But it doesn't happen every year like this. It is, I want to encourage you, so that's why I talk like this. But if you maintain your faith, the Vastu Shakti, that is the inherent energy which is there in the holy name, Krishna has invested his energy there. It is in the holy name like fire. Like light and fire, light and heat is in the flame, no? If you just keep on humbly serving the holy name, then all of a sudden the holy name with its inherent potency will act as a lift, like a lift that will bring you from the material plane to a spiritual plane. Yes, that is the experience. If you would ask me, from all the things which you know in the holy about chanting the holy name deeply, what have you learned so far as that you would like your audience to know, so that they can chant quickly and nicely with a deep relish? My answer to this question is, if I summarize all the lectures which you have heard me, all the podcasts on the internet, all the books, all the everything, into a simple to do formula or step by step process, I would be compelled to give you what I call Isha. Isha is the name of Krishna. The first I in Isha stands for intention. When you sit down, you have to have the intention. I'm now chanting your holy name, my Lord. Please accept me. Please help me. Please nourish me. Please be there. I'm giving my best. Kindly reciprocate in some ways as you see fit. Isha, S is the next, is sincerity. Connect with that part in you that is a God searcher, that is eager to come in the contact with Krishna. It's called sincerity. You can do this by prayers. I do like to memorize the prayers from Jagadananda. I don't know the Sanskrit by heart because I have become so forgetful, but the English I pray, where one says, oh, for so long I have been a Maya Das, I know I'm a Krishna Das, but my Lord, please give me the strength to chant your holy name. This is sincerity, and A is, and the Isha is attention. Always be willing to bring your mind back to the holy name. Within that Isha formula is a lot of things, and a lot of things to about which I will feel only comfortable to perhaps talk in one day with Kishore Gopal. So, because we have started discussion on these subjects. So, last point. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Do we have air for the devotees?
Yes.
We have air. Philo is there, and Kunya Bihari with this impressive good coat is there. You all have heard I'm writing since quite some time on a book. I think this is the first, it will be the first book of my Vedic way. It's a book which has to do with the inner transformation. This has always been a subject matter, but I never, you know, but it has become more important to, as I grow up. I think real spiritual life means to purify the heart. It doesn't mean to make external changes. It doesn't mean to make a career in a movement. It doesn't mean to do all these things which bring you validation from the world. The world of inner transformation means to change your heart so that Krishna will be pleased with you and appear in your heart. So this inner work, someone asked, what does it mean to you? Well, it starts really with a sense of a new identity. What does this mean? Have you ever heard Prabhupada saying, you are not the body? Have you perhaps heard this often or only one time? It's not an isolated statement. Yeah?
Yeah.
Not an isolated, it is there. Now I'm daring to ask, what if that is true? This means I'm not a German, oops. It means also I'm not my mind and my thoughts, my opinions. Oops. This means I'm not what you see or who you see at the moment sitting in these two hands talking to you. I'm not that. God, what then? Am I then a ghost? No, I'm also not a ghost or a spirit. I'm not the body, but what am I? Yeah. I'm a spirit. I'm inside here. I can watch my hand. I can also watch my thoughts. Watch my reactions to what I see, but I'm very different. Oops! There's a word for this in Sanskrit, aham brahmasmi. I'm absolutely spiritual. But then who am I as a spirit? What are my thoughts? So inner transformation starts with a sense. Sense means a feeling of a different identity than the body and the mind. Also, and I can measure if I really realize anything in the change of desires. I do not want the things which the body and the mind wants. I have totally different needs. And as you go into this, First you change your sense of identity, then you change your desires, your aspirations, and your goal in life. That is inner transformation. But that requires some serious work. In this age of Kali, detachment is very difficult from the body and the mind we hear. But there is something like purification of the heart which will help that your true identity, which is buried under layers of false identifications, arises. Genuine spiritual life, I write this in the new book, is something like spiritual archaeology. You know, an archaeologist will remove layer after layer after layer of earth until he finds the it's called artifact, the object. The object is not placed there, it's already there, but the archaeologist will only remove the layers, and then this, let us say, the lion man, which was there, that's the finding of a carved Nisshingadev deities. It's this big. You can visit it in the museum in Ulm. It is very, very old, and it is the first form of Lord Nisshingadev. It was found here in Germany. Hare Krishna. Doesn't mean Germany is special, it's just that Lord Nisshingadev is merciful. So this spiritual archaeology, removing the wrong identifications and finding what is really there, that is very important for me. In the new book, I'm quoting someone who said, according to a Harvard study, most of us are lost in about 60% of the time in thoughts. And unfortunately, these thoughts are not positive. They are negative. They are anxieties. They are comparing ourselves with others. They are worries about the future and so on. We are lost in these thoughts, which seems to be somewhat tragic if it is if it's possible to do something against it and come to your true self. And in this book which I'm publishing, I'm giving really roads, access roads. Some are very simple and very doable, based on our scriptures and on Kapila's teachings in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, whereby which it's possible to come to the true self and experience a total inner transformation. I would like to end what about this transformation story or transformation subject by bringing to your attention my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada. I started with Srila Prabhupada. I would like to end today with Srila Prabhupada. But before doing so, I want to tell you, it is possible to achieve this inner transformation. It is very much possible, because there are very strong transformative agents which are available in our tradition. One is, which you know, the holy name. And if you learn to chant that, not in your old mind, but allowing that the old mind changes into a new mind, a new understanding, then you are a transformed person. And everyone can see it. I remember a little while ago, my old friends who went to the same gymnasium, high school, had a meeting, you know, and somehow they found me out. One of my friends, best friend Knut Fleckenstein, is now someone in the Euro Parliament, a very influential. I don't know how influential, but I was contacted by his office, really. And I said, well, this is a little impersonal. I have a friend. Can't I talk directly? Why do I have to talk to the secretaries? I'm also a person, no? Yes. Okay. We just needed to track you. Mr. Fleckenstein said, if we find you, we shall bring you in contact. And so I said, so we met. I said, Knut, don't contact me through secretaries. We are friends. Oh, yes, I know, but I'm so busy. Sorry. And why do you want to contact me? I said, Knut said, well, we heard so many things about you. We want to see you. And we have a circle of friends we meet, and we want to see where everyone is. Do you know what Dieter does? No, I said, well, he has his own radio program. Acha, yes, he said, he always asks after you, he wants to meet you, what came out of you. And do you remember Thomas? Yes, I said, what is he into? Well, he is a physicist in Geneva, he does this molecule, you know. And Knut talked to me, making it very interesting for me to come. He thought he needs to catch me. So I said, I'm coming, Knut. Where is it? And who's there? And he said, and who, do you know who also will be there? No, I said, Mr. Lange. Remember Mr. Lange? Lange means the long, you know, the person with whom I had quarreled. I must come. So I came to, it was in Hamburg, and it was in a restaurant, a high-class restaurant. And I don't know who was my driver, Jean, but I didn't want anyone to be around because I needed to focus on my friends, and the friends would be irritated if I had someone next to me. So I entered the restaurant, and I noticed everyone in this restaurant became silent the moment I came in. I asked the waiter, where are my friends? I was in dhoti, like always. What, are you afraid of me? I said to the waiter. You seem to be a very important person. Your friends, who are very important, are very nervous to meet you again. No, I'm not very important. I'm just... Anyway, show me where my friends are. So we went and put the jacket there, and I entered, and everyone was going like... It was so scary. I said, cool down, it's just me. Just you? We heard you had become a llama. And you were driving, you were flying on a carpet over the Himalayan mountains. And then you had a carpet crash. You fell down and you died. But then others said, You were seen in the Himalayas like a yeti, and you didn't die. Yeah. So, okay, what is going on? Tell us everything. Why did you disappear so long? What, one question after the other. I said, I am just a simple servant of my spiritual master. He brought the teachings of the ancient Vedas to the West, and I'm trying to serve him. I'm not, and I explained, and then I became a little preachy, and they didn't like that. open, free spirit. Then I'm sorry, I'm a little bit, I'm giving lectures very often. So then we talk till late in the night. And they said, "You are really different." I said, "Yes." "How do you say that? You look different. Your face is very different. You talk with a similar voice, but the things you talk are very different from what you talked. And you were always so little complicated to deal with. When you didn't like anything, you would just shut up and not talk to us any longer and just look at us. Now you are friendly. You seem to be angry. Now you are friendly." I said, "Thank you if you see this." And the way they dealt with me was really like a being from another world, as if the E.T. of Steven Spielberg had just landed another time, right in their midst. And that was, E.T. means extraterrestrial. So that was a very interesting thing. I can only say I do feel very content, and I was very discontent. Once devotees tried to interview my mother before my time, before I became a devotee, and they said, "What was he?" And my mother said, "Very conflicted. Can you please talk about it?" "No, I will never talk about it. It was very difficult for him and more difficult for us." So there is no record. There will never be a record, because I also don't want to talk about my material life. But yes, there was pain. It was a painful birth, and my parents, they saw it and they suffered from it. And now it's different. I'm content and grateful, and want to serve, want to do good for others. I call this a transformation, at least a beginning, or a small transformation. And I think this is possible due to the strong influence of the holy name and the processes of bhakti. I want to end now. In my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada, he said something which I have always, what I regularly remember. We came into Prabhupada's room. He was very thin. He looked very different. And he sat on a rocking chair. And we all went into the room. We saw him for the first time very close. And yes, it was his last days, last weeks with us in this world. And he looked like that also, very emaciated, no? Narayani has shown us a photo of Prabhupada in his last day when he visited London, and when we all from Germany came to see him for the last time. So we went into the room, and I remember there was a long silence. Prabhupada looked at every one of us. He did not speak. We did not speak. It was a very serious atmosphere. Then Prabhupada spoke in a very weak voice, so we needed to strain. "Have you understood our philosophy?" For Prabhupada, philosophy was never a mental exercise, an intellectual exercise. It came from the Sanskrit word darshan, to see. Have you understood the way we see things? Or Have you understood the path, we would say in modern English? And devotees answered Srila Prabhupada's question. And then Prabhupada was not satisfied with any of those answers, and he gave the answer which he felt was necessary for us. He said, so first of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. He spoke about the eternal soul. His sentence brought everything together in my life. Remember, in this Bosnian mountains, when I was so sick and ill, and I was woken up from my self-absorption in the body and the healing of the body by his sentence, what do you do for eternity, no? For eternal life? So here in my last meeting with him, he asked, he said, first of all, you need to understand that life is eternal. For me, transformation means to come to an experience of this. And in the upcoming book, there will be ways in which you can understand that, or not understand it, feel that. There is, for instance, a meditation called Become Who You Are. Become Who You Are. Wonderful title, no? And yes, that is there. There are many things like this. And I feel that my service in the upcoming time, I invested a lot of my energy into the holy name and Krishna Katha. I tried to invest. I want to invest in these areas. I want to continue, but I also want to help myself and everyone else to understand that what it means to be an eternal soul, not by thought process, but by experience. So that will be the new thing, there will be podcasts, there will be things, and I have decided to make this all also, it will be an outreach, but I will not forget you, I will speak to you in the language you are used to, from our Shastras and so on, and lead you as you are used as members of one particular movement. I need to speak your language and do exactly the things you are familiar with, but bring them to a deeper level where there will be perhaps a more experience of this. So that will form. I try, but who am I? I'm dependent on Krishna. This will be my offering. Now, some say I'm 70. I don't agree with my calendar year, but because many of you think I'm 70, I'm very different from what you think. In earthly years and an earthly perspective, a material perspective, yes, I want to see that I'm helpful. There's a new challenge. I want to teach this, become who you are, and bring people, try to help people as a servant of Prabhupada to first of all and understand that they are eternal, and after that many more things will come. Yes, everyone needs a purpose in life, and that will be my purpose. I thank you all very much for listening so carefully. I hope you understood. I did not want to talk so much about just about myself. I wanted to talk about what I have learned in the hopes that it is useful for you. Did you understand like this? It was not just, we say in North German, eine einsame Bauchbepinselung. I can't translate that into English. It's, it would not sound nice in English. Just be self-centered, you know, talk. I wanted to say something which is useful for you. Good. Ja. Hare Krishna. Oh my God. Was, how long was this? Did it was a little long, no? The time is today we celebrate. Yeah. Why watch the clock? We Gaurahari, what are you doing now?
We have a small surprise for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you plan also that our magician will come?
Some magic.
Yeah. Would you prefer the surprise first and Madhu Chanda after?
Maybe you. I see you are already getting ready for the surprise. Yes, surprise first. Yes. So it's a good to change the energy, perhaps. Yeah. Was it okay? Was it interesting for you? I'm a little unsure because it's the first time in my life where I give such a long talk about things. So I tried my best. Hare Krishna.